I want to thank you for your traveling grace and getting us through tonight. Lord, I pray that when the word goes forth, Lord, that it produces a seed, Lord, and may it fall on good soil so that it may bear fruit in all of us. Lord, I pray that you will quiet and silence every voice of fear and anxiousness. And Lord, I pray again that your word and your spirit breaks through tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So this has been a very unique time in life, I think, for all of us. It's a nice way of putting it. And even though, like, all of our situations are different in their own way, we all, I feel, have been waiting for God to fulfill a word that he's already spoken over our life. And just speaking for myself, the challenge in that is the space between when God first speaks the word and then waiting until it is fulfilled, or when he manifests it, when he performs it. And so the longer it feels like it takes for it to come, I know for me, it has started to feel like, God, you've abandoned me. You've left me because nothing's happening. And a lot of my prayers, I've just cried out to God, just keeping it real, like, God, I feel like not only have you left me, but I feel like I'm being held captive, like I'm a prisoner to the very thing that you told me that you was gonna deliver me from. And I don't understand it, and I'm trying to hold on to your word. I'm trying to remain faithful to you. But I just feel like I'm a prisoner. That's all I could think to say, because that's what it felt like. And so then, in responding to me, God said, go back to Joseph. And then I got pissed off, because I'm like, okay, God, I don't need no more lessons and forgiveness. Like, I get it. I get we supposed to forgive because you forgive. And honestly, at this point, God, I don't even care. I don't care what they did. I don't care what was done. It's cool. I'm straight with them. I just want you to get me out of this. And in God's typical fashion, he just repeated himself. So I was like, okay, well, we just gonna go back to Joseph. So when I started reading it, it didn't take long it didn't take long for it to dawn on me why God told me to go back. And he wasn't telling me to go back to revisit the forgiveness part. But the moment I hit where he was then taken into prison, he was a prisoner, I said, oh, okay. Okay, so we going somewhere with this. So I kept reading. And then I got mad again. Because I just had, like, I had two burning questions. The first one was, okay, God, I know your thoughts are higher than ours. But please help me understand why it was even necessary for him to even go through all of that. Why was it necessary? And how in the world did he meaning Joseph, how did he survive it? How did he survive it? So we can start at Genesis 39. I'm just starting at verse 10, and I might jump around. And it says, although she spoke to Joseph, so this is Potiphar's wife. We know she was trying to get Joseph in the sack. So she kept asking him to sleep with her, and he refused to go to bed with her. Now one day he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. She grabbed him by his garment and said, "Sleep with me." Leaving his garment in her hand, he escaped and ran outside. And when she saw that he had left his garment with her and had run outside, she called her household servants. She said to them, "My husband brought a Hebrew man to make fools of us. He came to me so he could sleep with me, and I screamed as loud as I could." And then I'm going to just jump down to verse 19. When his master heard the story, his wife told him, "These are the things your slave did to me." He was furious and had him thrown into prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. This would begin me. Alright, because Joseph, he already in this situation. Because he shared with his brothers the dream that God gave him. So they was jealous. They betrayed him. Sold him into slavery. Sold him into slavery. So now he's in slavery. And we know, based off the text, he did well. He, you know, was in the master's house. But then, minding his own business, here come this woman who done lied on him. And I know when I've tried to stay diligent in my walk with God, the favor of God almost started to feel like a curse. Like it was a constant target on my back. Because I'm just pretending if I was Joseph, like, now God, now you see. Now I've been trying to do right. I could have took it down if I want to, but I didn't. And yet still, I done got betrayed. I done got lied on. I done got accused. I keep jumping from this condition to worse conditions. And I ask God again, so how did Joseph make it out of this in his right mind after all of that? After everything he had already been through? And so, then God told me to reread it again. I said, "The words ain't gonna change, God." He said, "Reread it again." So when I read it, what I noticed was nowhere in the text does it say that Joseph tried to defend himself. Nowhere does it say that he pleaded, he begged, he tried to convince his master that it wasn't true. He didn't say nothing. It just said he went to prison. And then that reminded me of in Matthew, where Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate said, "So I know you hear like everything they accusing you of. Like, you ain't got nothing to say about that." And it said Jesus answered him nothing. Jesus said nothing. And when in the midst of spiritual warfare and this battle is going on for control and power, sometimes the enemy isn't necessarily out to kill you. He might not even be after your stuff. Sometimes he just wants you to answer him. Because if you answer him, then in a way that's you acknowledging that he has power in the first place.
And say it again, girl. One more minute, please.
So sometimes, because we know the enemy sometimes do really be after your life, but especially when you just trying to do right, you trying to live as righteous as you can, stay in relationship with God. Sometimes the enemy will throw accusations at you. Just because he wants you to acknowledge him. Because in acknowledging him, then you're acknowledging he got power. And so we have to be careful, and it's hard. Come it's on. A challenge. But we have to be careful what we respond to. You don't respond to everything. I think it was in John 8 where Jesus said there is no truth in him. When he speaks from his native language, from his nature. He is a liar and the father of lies. And when, like, you talking about like something's nature, it's the very essence of something. It's its identity, it's its character, it's it is literally created for that. Yeah. So not only is the enemy a liar,
come on,
he is the lie.
Come on, please. Yeah.
And so like, okay, so like a, it's gonna sound like common sense, but it's supposed to. If you go up to a banana tree, you can't pick an apple from a banana tree. Why? Because it doesn't carry the DNA. It doesn't produce the seeds to produce an apple.
Come on,
so in
though.
The same way that Satan is the father of lies, his DNA, come his on. Seed can only produce lies.
Yes.
And so when we have to be careful in acknowledging him or answering to him, because the words say there's power in the tongue. Mm-hmm. But our power, if we accept the lie, if we receive the lie, our power doesn't make the lie true. Our power doesn't make the lie true. We just become the lie.
Come
we
on.
Start living
the lie.
We start living a falsehood, believe a false it. Purpose. Our life, our purpose, it
all
becomes
life.
A myth. It becomes a lie.
That's right.
And so, in trying to understand how Joseph survived, he survived because he didn't identify with where he was positioned.
Mm-hmm.
He was in prison, but he wasn't a prisoner.
Ah.
And
ha! Say it again, girl.
He did not.
Just one more time. Where he was.
He did it.
He didn't accept it.
He, I mean, mean, he understood where he was, but he also knew what God said, and we know God is the truth.
That's right.
He can't lie. And so, in the midst of when you're waiting for God's promise to come, even if I can't see the promise sees me. So I'm not going to identify with what I'm seeing right now because I know what God said. And I know the opposite of that is not the truth.
That's right.
And so then as I kept reading, because I was still trying to understand, okay, like, God, you hold all power in your hands. So when you give us a word, why can't you just, like, why was all of that necessary? The amount of time that Joseph was in the position that he was in, why was that even needed? But, like, when he was in slavery, it said Potiphar, he left all that he owned in Joseph's care. The only thing he worried about was what he was going to eat. Then when he got in prison, because of God's favor on Joseph, it said the warden, he left the prisoners in Joseph's care, so he didn't worry about nothing that Joseph was managing. So then I was like, okay, so what if the very thing that I'm praying, God, you deliver me from, you're keeping me in. For the same reasons that you kept Joseph where he was for as long as he was. Like, what if in Joseph accepting the promise and the purpose on his life, it allowed God to position him as a slave in prison so that he can be equipped with the tools necessary in order to rule for when the promise came.
I just want to hurt you just a minute. Oh my God. Carry on.
Oh, my God. That's too good to holler. I need to hear it.
So, and having that realization, it was cool, but where still, even when you know all of that, where you start to question, or where I start to question God is when your purpose puts you in positions where you experience pain.
Say what?
And
Jesus,
because we know, so the physical effect of pain. When your brain registers that you are hurting, it releases these chemicals that causes, like, your body, your muscles to cramp, to tense up. When you're in pain, you aren't able to move as freely. Your physical activity decreases.
That's right.
And so when God allows us to experience pain, it's not because he's a sadistic God.
Come on.
But in that pain, it, number one, makes us sit down long enough for God to prep us and prepare us in order to release us into the promise and or birth the promise through us. And it hurts. It hurts. But there's purpose in the pain. Even Jesus had to go through pain. But we know that on the other side of the pain that he endured from the cross was the salvation that we get. So it's not always, scratch that. God loves us. He loves us. And sometimes when you hurting and you praying that God removes it and he doesn't, we start to maybe think that you don't love me no more. But his word says he will never forsake you. He didn't say you're going to always be comfortable.
Yeah, come on.
He said, I will never leave you. Even in Exodus, it said the more the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites, the more they multiplied and grew. That's why James 1 counted all joy.
Ha!
When your faith,
Jesus,
when the testing of your faith faces many trials, the endurance of that will perfect you and mature you, making you complete, lacking in nothing.
Nothing. Jesus.
And I thank God that even in the midst of my pain now, I thank him for sending, I thank you for the seeds that he planted in me very early in my life. I thank him for the ministering angel of my sister.
Thank you, Jesus.
19 years old, dying of pancreatic cancer. Halfway to glory. And I remember, I retell this story to my mama a million times, how I began to cry. And she said, do not cry for me. Pray for yourself. Seek after your own soul salvation. Because if you knew who I knew, you would understand the peace that surpasses all understanding. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Yes. And so it gets to a point where you gotta be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yes. Tired of running to God, telling him about your problems instead of telling your problems about your God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but this time I will keep your word. See, I don't care what nobody say about me, what nobody think about me. Right. I want to be, Jesus said, you do the deeds of your father.
Come on.
But I'm about my father's business. And if I abide in his word, I am indeed his disciple. I know the truth, and the truth makes me free.
That's right. I hear the Lord.
So regardless the position that Joseph was in. Not only did he endure it, but he stayed posted.
Yes.
Where God placed him.
Yes.
And he didn't, clearly he didn't take no days off. Because they trusted him. That's they right. trusted him with all, they don't know him.
Not none.
Not the warden. No, not his master. Mm-hmm. So clearly he wasn't sitting in no corner pondering and plotting on what his brothers did to him. That's or right. who lied on him. No, he stayed posted, planted where God put him.
That's right. That's good.
Regardless of the position he was put in. Like if you think about just talking in terms of like jobs and stuff, when you think of a position, you apply for a position. A position is like a general term for a job title. Mm-hmm. But a post, when you are posted somewhere, it is a specific, sometimes specialized job assignment. That's so right. My position title, I'm a wife.
Right.
But my post, my assignment is to pray and war and intercede on my husband's behalf, regardless of how he
is.
Mm-hmm.
Teach us.
Yes, ma'am.
Teach us.
Yes, Jesus.
Teach us.
My God.
Stay
in the post. So it's a matter of being consistent. Being persistent, mm-hmm. staying locked in, mm-hmm. no matter what is going on,
come on.
Around you.
That's right.
Matter of fact, now this almost made me holler when I was. So another definition of a post is a piece fixed firmly in an upright position, come especially on. As a stay or support.
What kind of position?
Upright and firmly fixed position. But it also is to forbid to trespassers under penalty of legal persecution by notice placed along the boundaries. So not only when I'm locked in, I can focus
That's right.
and keep my mind fixed on those things that are above, but I'm also covered. Can't nothing touch me. You can't even touch nothing that God has for me. Nothing he's given me. As long as I stay right where he put me.
Posted.
You can't touch me.
That's right. Jesus. My God. Jesus.
Now, because we have free choice, mm-hmm. it's still your choice. You don't have to.
That's right.
But one thing about it, if God spoke something,
it's right.
It ain't nothing I can do, nobody can do to stop his word. He said it.
That's it.
And I love, I've been replaying this sermon. I love the way Pastor Sarah Roberts Jakes says it. She said, the process doesn't produce the promise, but the process produces the you that walks into the promise. So you can't perform your way into getting anything from God. He's not, as humans, we think everything is transactional. That's not how it works with God. He gonna do it either way. But how you choose to handle the process from getting to point A to point B, will determine the version of you that walks into what God has for you. And it's wise, because as we see, anytime that God is takes you, the more you learn, the more he expects from you. And so if he is in the middle of elevating you to a higher position, you might want to sit tight and let him do whatever he got to do, so that when you get into your next, you are prepared for the next level of spiritual warfare. Because if you can't handle it now, you doggone sure ain't going to be able to handle it then. And I said it once, and I'll say it again. This is a one and done for me. I ain't doing this no more. All right, Jesus. So, yeah, once God speaks a word, it's set in stone. All that he asks us to do is endure it. Don't shortcut your way out of it. Just endure it. And in the end, I mean, we know the end, and Joseph forgive his brothers. But now, understanding why it was necessary for God to allow him to go through all of that, and also understanding how he survived it, I imagine by the time that he saw his brothers again, he couldn't be mad, because you was just on assignment. You were just a piece to the whole plan. And when you are in a waiting season, after, you know, God is teaching you and perfecting everything that concerns you, the most valuable thing that we get is the relationship and the bond with our Lord.
Yes.
So not only when it's over with does he get the glory, because his word has been manifested, but when people look at you, he'll still get the glory, because you're starting to look like him.
Yeah.
You're starting to talk like him. You carry the very fruits of God's character. And so I also think that's how Joseph was able to endure what he went through, because he learned, he knew God's character. Therefore, he could stand on his word and trust it, because if you know God's character, you know he don't change. That's he's right. faithful, That's he's right. consistent, That's right. and if he said it, he meant it. That's so right. he was able to trust in God's word, and also because of that trust and that relationship, he knew who he was. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was. I don't care how y'all treated me. I don't care. I look like I'm down right now, but I know who I am. That's I right. know my That's purpose. Right. I know the plan over my life, because not only do I know who I am, I know who I am because I know whose
Come
I
on.
Am.
That's right. Ah, that's right. That's it right there.
That's right.
He couldn't be shook. Ah. Jesus.
Mm. Jesus. So at a point, when you in it, it's not to say that what was done is okay or justified.
It's not okay.
Because it's not.
It's not.
But what I learned from rereading, what I learned, because Joseph rejected being the victim, he was able to be a vessel for God's purpose and for his glory.
Come on.
So I made the choice. I don't care what it looked like. And I don't care what was done. God says that I am made in his image.
Come on.
And that I am more than a conqueror.
Come on, more.
I am not. I am not a victim.
That's right.
But I'm gonna walk through this thing,
Jesus,
and allow God to use me.
That's right.
For his glory.
Yes.
And I know that it'll be for my good.
Yes,
hey! Because he can't lie. This is all the stuff she said.
I encourage you today. I encourage you today to simply stand strong, no matter what it looked like. She said he did not complain, but he endured. So he didn't never give up. He didn't walk around with his chin in his neck. He wasn't moping. He wasn't doing any of those things. But he stayed what? Posted, baby. And in him staying posted, the one thing that caused him to get favor was simply believing God. That's it. That's it. Ever since you started going through this time in your life, have you seen favor in every area? Even when the enemy tried to put you in a place of fear, I said, girl, you favored. See, can't nobody curse what God bless. I don't care how they try. They can't will it. They can't voodoo it. They can't wish it. They can't do any of that. I don't care what you say, what they say, what they do. They can't stop God. The Bible says nobody can stand before him. Absolutely nobody can stand before him. What did she say? See, we as people have to get into our hearts, not just our mind, because our thoughts are messing us up. We got to get into our hearts. What was the name of the sermon Sunday? Peace in the Lord. You preached the extension tonight. When you know what you know, just like I said Sunday, I wouldn't give a rat's tail, baby, what nobody say. I don't even care what I think, because my thoughts don't mean absolutely nothing. Did you hear what I say? Our thoughts are make us deceive ourselves. Come on. What? Say it again. Fickle. Our thoughts. Did you hear what I say? Baby, we messed up.
Some people have seen.
But what you say, if we stay in his word, which is his truth, and abide there, not only will I be his disciple, but it's going to what? Make me free. So I'm free. Come on, I ain't the only one free. Come on, y'all. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. We free from all the mess. We free from all the foolishness. So when it comes to me, I'm not going to react like I used to react. Because I got peace. Because I know whose I am. You better be careful and hope I ain't offended. Because if I get offended, the Bible declares that it's best that you put a milestone about your neck and cast yourself in it. Listen to this. The Bible says that if you offend the least of these, it's best that you put a... So is that saying you better off killing yourself than allowing me to get a hold to you for messing with mine? You see what I'm saying? It's a tough thing to fall under the wrath of God. So it's best that you sit down and be quiet. You know what? I'm praying God have mercy on you. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pray that God have mercy on you. I'm gonna pick up the characteristics of Jesus and I'm gonna say, Lord, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they saying. They don't even know who they messing with. So let me tell you how God is. God is the type of father that when you start messing with his children, you may think that he ain't gonna do anything, but then when he do something, he bring it to your memory what you did to get that punishment. He do it to me all the time, and I ain't the only one. Save the unsaved. I have heard sinners say, you know what, I know that. It's you understand what I'm saying? Because we all God's people. So don't nobody know nobody else's story. She said, I'm not a victim. You're a victor. That's who you are. She said, more than a conqueror, that means you already conquered that thing. If you more than a conqueror, you are not defeated. You can't be the, if you more than a conqueror, that means you are undefeated. More than a conqueror, I'm not just a person that can conquer that because I got over it or got past it, but I'm more than a conqueror because I got the victory. I got the victory. I'm delivered.
I want you to know that.
Here's my story. Now y'all understand why it's good for us to tell our story. Because in the midst of us experiencing these things, God teaching us something. And what she learned is just not for her. It's for all of us. I know it didn't just help. I know it didn't just help me. I know it just didn't move me like that. I couldn't even sit down. See, because God got a way of showing us while we going through that you already made it through. You don't even know. See, I said, after you have suffered for a while, I'm going to make you perfect. Then I'm going to establish you, and then I'm going to give you strength. So in the midst of your suffering or that place of discomfort, he's perfecting inside of you that causes you to get discombobulated so you won't get discombobulated again. And so now he has established you to a place where he wants you to be, where you know and have learned how to keep control. How to be quiet when you want to talk. How to put your hands in your pocket when you want to swing. See, he done established you. And so now, if anything worse or anything else happened again, you got enough strength to what you say, endure. And what's that last thing you say? He say, and then after he established you, he going to give you rest. So you got all the peace you need. You got all that. Now that's the book. I ain't making it up. It's the book. So come on, you guys. Let's pray. Anybody want to write down anything? Now's the time. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens. If you already wrote it down, come on, bring it. Put it on the altar. Pray for yourself. Stand in the gap. Pray for somebody else. Don't nobody know your story. God did it, God did it, God did it. Thank you, Jesus. Life and favor. In the midst of it, he's restoring our life. And he's showing favor. He's putting us where we need to be in him, not where we want to be. See, we as people think that we need to be and we want to be and we can't be. You understand what I'm saying? We do, but you do. I hope you know you pray.
They don't really understand it.
You preach,
they don't know your story.
Them yellow sheets of paper and them red pens. Write that stuff down. nobody imagine what we do. Thank you, Jesus, for being who you are in our lives. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. God says he's uplifting you in the midst of this trial.
Was inside of us that's laying dormant.
It's just sitting there. We don't even know how strong we are. We don't even know that we capable of nothing until he put us in a position. She said, you know what poster means? It means standing upright. Say, what's standing? All right. Yep, the Lord say, you ain't walking around with your chin in your neck. You ain't moping. You ain't turning. Upright. To be upright is you got your head up. You ain't looking down and you ain't looking around. It's upright. Break it down. Up and right.
Some people have seen that God has brought you. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story. You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I've come through. You cannot even, cannot imagine.
Jesus.
When the world felt like
It felt like the whole world rejected me.
My God.
I don't care, God, if you never do another thing for me. Your love for me has been more than enough. I thank you, God, that you even allow me the privilege to dwell with you,
yes,
to
Lord.
Talk to you, to pray to you, to rest at your feet. God, I want to thank you for my mind, for the stability in my mind. Even when I thought it was lost, God, you brought it back to me and told me, do you not know who you are? Do you not know what I called you?
Jesus.
I know you before I formed you in your mother's belly. I say you have a mind like Christ. I have given you the spirit of adoption. I say you are mine. I call you mine. I call you my people. I don't care who rejects you. I don't care what they say about you. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe them? Or you going to believe me? I am the great I am. I am your creator. And I say you are more than a conqueror. You are a warrior. You are chosen. And you are loved. Who are you going to believe?
Yes, God.
Which report are you going to believe?
Yes.
And you make it so easy.
Thank you, God, for being who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
God is so gracious. Thank you, Jesus.
You make me whole.
Thank you.
See, you make me whole. Me whole. Oh, God.
You feel so much lighter now.
God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your covering. We thank you for being in our midst on tonight. We thank you for simply doing what you do best. And that's simply saying about us, your people. We tell you that we love you and we appreciate you, God. And we pray that we're for answer them on tonight. Consider them. Even now, in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. We're going to get ready to get our offering, and then we're going to dismiss y'all. I know when God done, we done. Thank you, Jesus.
She's been playing with me all night. God has given us his peace.
Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get ready to get our offering. We're going to dismiss. I love you guys so much. That word was fruitful to me tonight. That thing ministered to me on tonight. I pray to God that it helped all of us. I believe it helped all of us. I do. Thank you, Jesus. Let's hold it often up in the air and give God back just what he gave unto us. Dear God in heaven, we come to you. We first want to say thank you. We thank you for any and everything that you did in this sanctuary on tonight, because that's what we are here for, God, to be healed, delivered, and set free We thank you for freeing us in our minds and our hearts and even in our bodies. We thank you for the word, God, that you allowed to go forward on tonight, that it may break some chains and loose some shackles. We just want to thank you on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus, even for putting that word down in the speaker, Lord, because you know, Father God, what we all need individually. We just want to thank you for your presence and for the blood, God. We thank you for that on tonight. Lord, I'm asking you to touch each and every individual in this sanctuary, covers in your blood and hides behind your cross. Let your will, your way, your purpose, and your plan be done within our lives, Lord. I'm asking you to consider any and every prayer that we put on the altar, the ones that's in our hearts that we don't even say anything about. Any and everything that we released unto you tonight, Father God, we're going to leave it right there under your foot, because we know you got a big old foot. Lord, we just want to come to you on tonight and let you know just how much we appreciate you and how much we love you. And even as we get ready to leave this place and cap your angels around our cars, that we may return home just as we left it, which is safe. Let no hurt, harm, and danger come before us, around us, or even cross our path, God. But if by chance it do, Lord, I'm asking you right now, let there be no fatalities, incidents, or even any accidents. Lord, I'm asking you to let your angels stand guard and take watch over us, Father God, as we travel, Lord. I'm asking you right now that even as we go back home, God, everything that we got on tonight, Father God, we will extend it to our loved ones. We tell you we love you and that we appreciate you. And we thank you even in advance for the promise. Thank you in advance for the promise. We thank you right now, Lord, in your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may come from where you're seated. I want to make sure I anoint everybody in the sanctuary, and you are dismissed.